Turn to your neighbor and say, "Don't judge me."
Don't judge me.
Oh, judge me. That's no joke. That's exactly what we're covering this morning. Don't judge. Don't judge. So we're yes. So if your your top button is closed or you've got, you might want to open it a little bit because this message could get a little tough. But this is a message that Jesus gave to his disciples, and we feel, look, we need to lay it before us this morning so we can also wrestle with it. Before we get going, I'm going to invite our verse reader up this morning, which is Emily. I'll let her introduce herself.
Good morning, and happy Sunday, everyone. My name is Emily, and I just want to introduce myself a little bit before getting started. First of all, I'm so glad to be here and to be a part of the community at Church in Toronto. I feel the welcome has been so genuine, and the blessings within the community and within the church are so genuine. That's just the one word that I can use to speak really about this church. I have my brother Guillaume to thank, really, for bringing me here, for introducing me to everyone that I've been introduced to. Him and his wife, Nikki, have been coming here for a few years, and they also have their baby Claire, which is my niece, and she's so beautiful, and I'm so happy that she's going to be able to grow up within the Church in Toronto community. That's a really big blessing. I'm also grateful, first and foremost, and primarily to God for bringing us all together. I think his purpose is really clear, and whenever we let him in and we make him the priority in our life and devote everything to him, I think that is just the most important thing, and everything becomes really clear. His love becomes everything to us. Yeah. So just, again, thank you for the warm welcome, and I'll be reading from Matthew 7 this morning. "Judge not, that you be not judged, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you." So thanks.
Thank you. All right. You know, we live in a culture of tolerance today. And typically, what that means is everybody feels or thinks that they can do whatever they want to do. And if you push back on them in any way, guess what you hear? "Don't judge me." And that's typically the case. It's kind of, "Don't judge me" is a defense that people use when you're kind of, you know, saying, "Are you sure you want to go down that path? Are you sure that kind of thinking is going to be that productive?" And so that kind of defense actually is what we just hear more and more. So it's quite interesting. Do you know that this verse, chapter 7, verse 1, if you were to take a poll of the average person on the street, that's the verse they know. That's the verse they know in the Bible. You know, many years ago, it used to be John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but would have eternal life." And today, "Don't judge me." What a shift in our society. "Don't judge me." Look at this. David Guzik had this interesting comment. Chapter 7, verse 1. "This is the Bible verse that seems to be most popular in our present day. But most people who quote it don't understand what Jesus said." Does that make sense? Yeah, for sure. They seem to think Jesus commanded a universal acceptance of any lifestyle and teaching. And so we want to jump in this morning and we want to find out, okay, Jesus said this to his disciples. He says, "Judge not, that you be not judged." And so we want to, okay, what does he really mean by that? And then just before we touch it, let me just remind you of the greater context of this Sermon on the Mount that we've seen so far. Jesus continually points and aims at our heart. Not our outward actions. He's aiming at our heart. And that's why you hear him say things like, "You have heard that it was said, you shall not murder. But I say to you, if anybody is angry." He's talking about the heart. And so, as we're looking at this verse today, don't lose that context. He's aiming at our heart. And what he's saying to us, saying to his disciples and saying to us who are his disciples today, there is something toxic and corrosive in your heart, and I have to touch it. I have to touch it. And what he's also trying to help us to do is this: recognize that it's there, admit that it's there, and then begin to see how you and I can deal with it. So the verse says this: judge not that you be not judged. And I just want to focus in primarily on that thought of judging. This kind of judging that Jesus is speaking about here is absolute judgment. A judgment that knows everything. A judgment that sees everything. It's like a final judgment where you would be able to look at a person and say, "You are guilty. And you are condemned." And here's what we know from the Bible. Only God is able to see into our hearts, know what we're thinking. And so to God alone, that kind of judgment is only his. But you and I, we get caught with that same kind of judging. And Jesus is saying, you've got to be so careful, because do you realize what you're doing when you are judging like that? You are replacing God. You are saying, I am just like God, and I can judge like he judges. And let's be honest, our heart is so often self-righteous. We condemn people. We feel that they're guilty. And we really feel that they're wrong. And the worst part is, we feel that we're right. And, you know, when we condemn people, we're kind of saying, look at me, because my life is the standard that you should live by. I know you don't say this out loud, but that's really what's going on in our heart, isn't it? It's going to be good if we could just be honest with ourselves this morning and not say, oh, no. I know the guy next to me, that's definitely his issue. And if you're the wife in the family, and okay, never mind, we won't go there. Let this settle on you this morning, because Jesus is speaking this to his disciples, and I don't want anybody here running away from what Jesus is saying. He's saying it to us just like he said it to his disciples. What's interesting about this verse, Autumn, if you could just go back to those verses for me. Here it says, judge not, but in English, we don't pick up the real thought, the real meaning, but in the Greek, it's in the present imperative. And so it means this: stop judging. Yes. He's not saying, I want to warn you because going forward, you're going to have an issue with judging. He's saying, stop judging right now. This is not something you're going to grow into. This is something you are doing right now. And that's again, the importance we don't pick up from the English. But he's saying, stop judging. You know, and I think it's helpful for us to recognize that our sinful nature is critical and condemning of others. Am I right? It's okay. It's okay to say yes. No one's going to haul you out of here. You got a Savior here who's mighty to save. This might be a mountain for you. He can move that mountain. Stop judging. We all do it. And this morning, I'm just hoping that we can let this word land where it needs to land. We could admit what's going on in our lives. So let me give you some different kinds of judging. I'll lighten things up already because I can tell this is heavy. You know, we judge in all kinds of ways, do we not? If you were in the gas station that this person was in, what would you do? You might run because there might be an explosion about to happen at any moment. But I wonder what's going on in our hearts and in our minds when we see this kinds of thing. Maybe we're thinking, what kind of beep? And I don't want to say the word, right? What kind of... Okay, that's a judgment. And it could be, you know, it could be on a similar level. It could also be like hair color. Most of you probably don't know, but when I was a teenager, I had. Yes, I had hair. And I had substantially more hair than what I have today. And my hair was brown. But, you know, in my teenage years, I got one of those streaks in my hair. So my hair was brown, and I had this, like, okay, young people, don't do this to your parents, okay? Okay, this is not licensed to go do this. So I had one of those blonde streaks in my hair, and that was just kind of cool and, you know, something I wanted to do. And I know that people thought, what an idiot. Like, why would you? Sorry, now I said the word. But it's okay, it's me. It's okay. So, you know, like we judge on a kind of a superficial level, right? We see this, you know, the person might have just, you know, done something really silly and put their, you know, they were supposed to put the gear in the wrong, you know, thing, and it went really wrong, and then it just happened. We don't know what happened, but we kind of start judging like we know, like we're thinking, what? Okay, that's superficial judgment. We all do it, but there's other kinds of judgment, too, that I think is much more serious. Today, we look at people, and one of the more fashionable things to do is get tattoos and piercings. Should I show you my tattoo? Just kidding. Whoa! It's like, he even has a tattoo? No kidding. He doesn't have a tattoo. Okay, so sometimes we look at people like this, beautiful young lady, and we're bothered because we feel like, why would such a person do that to themselves? Why can't they just have a normal earring like everybody else? Why do they have to do that? You see the judging that's starting to come in? We're starting to condemn this young lady because of the tattoos and the piercings that are, yeah, they're not conventional. And here's where the judging gets really bad, because we start to think, that person has issues inside that they're not dealing with, and they're expressing it in this way. You and I just judged in a way that God alone can judge, and that's very damaging. Actually, it's not damaging. It's damaging to you in terms of ever wanting to have a relationship with this person, but it's damaging also more, I say, more to you. Then there's a destructive kind of judging. When you see somebody who's wearing a niqab, and all kinds of things begin to stir up within you because of what you've heard, because of what you've seen, but it doesn't only have to be a niqab, it also could be skin color. It could be we're making destructive judgments about people because of what they wear, because of their skin color. And those are judgments, I'm sorry to say, that do happen. and we are judging that person as though we know them. I would say these last two specifically, if in your heart you're judging somebody because of a niqab or you're judging somebody because of skin color, that should be a massive red flag to you. Let it land where it needs to land this morning and begin to have allow Jesus to have that transaction with you, because that kind of judging is going to destroy you. And as a disciple of Jesus, he's not going to let it go. I want to ask us a question as we judge. Do you really know the person that you're judging? Honestly? Typically, we don't, right? We don't know the person, and yet we criticize and we condemn them as though we know everything about them. We don't know their backstory. We don't know their motives. We have no idea at all. And as I said earlier, we are playing God. And Jesus is telling his disciples in this simple verse, stop it. Stop judging. I believe part of the reason why we do this kind of judging is because of pride. I believe that pride is the fuel for judgmental attitudes. We kind of give off this air of, I'm superior and I know more than you. Let me tell you a story about a young, middle-aged man who got saved a number of years ago. And for him, he was raised in a Catholic home. And when he got saved, he just loved singing. And we didn't, back then, we never sang. We didn't sing the songs that we sing today. God is mighty to say. We didn't sing those. His favorite song was, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows roll. I know it's very poetic. But that was his favorite song. And no matter where he went, he loved singing that song. If you were in a home group with him, let's sing. Since Jesus came into my heart. That was exactly, he had joy that was overflowing in Jesus. And that was the way that he expressed it. And he was doing very well for a little while. And his mom and dad had passed away shortly before his salvation experience. And he had conversations with us about how much they loved Jesus and how much they cared for other people. And one day he came to church, and he was having a conversation with somebody. And it's interesting because he never would let me know who that person was. And it's probably a good thing. He never let me know who that person was, but he did say this. That person told him, if your parents were Catholic, they're in hell. I just want you to feel the weight of that for a second. How proud do you have to be to make that kind of a judgment on somebody who is a Catholic? There are countless genuine Christians among the Catholic believers. Countless. And we, in our pride and in our judging attitude, would just say, your mom and dad, they're not in heaven, they're in hell. It absolutely derailed that brother's faith. And he never came to be with us again. I want you to just feel it. Let it land if it needs to land with you. Begin to consider, Jesus, how do you help me with this? Because you know that the help is coming. Well, we spent a lot of time on two words, judge not. We better get going, right? It's okay. The next part is It flows really, really nicely. So notice what Jesus does next. So Autumn, if you could put those verses up for me again. So Jesus is now going to help his disciples. He's made this declaration, judge not. He's going to help his disciples to see what God will do if we judge like God judges. He says, that you not be judged, or you be not judged, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure that you measure, it will be measured to you. So think about this for a second. If you're a person who is judging, like God judges, he's going to judge you in that way. If you are a person who judges harshly and critically, and you condemn people, God is going to use exactly the same measure on you. Is that fair? Come on, is that fair?
Yes.
That's fair, right? If you can dish it out, you should be able to take it. You want to be critical? You want to be condemning? You're going to get the same thing. But you're not going to get the same thing from a human being. You're going to get the same thing from God. That should awaken us. But on the other side, if you are a person who treats people with love and mercy and grace, how is God going to approach you? How is God going to, you know, the relationship you have with God, how is that going to go? He's going to treat you with love and mercy and grace. Then Jesus goes, verses 3 through 5. Let me read these for you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not... Oh, there we go. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, which means pretender or actor. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. I think there's just some real gold in these verses. So the first thing I feel like Jesus is saying here is acknowledge that you have this condemning tendency. First, acknowledge it. And I get it. Look, it's ridiculous hyperbole, right? It's complete exaggeration. Yeah. Who has a log literally sticking out of their eye? Nobody. And yet you do. And yet you do. So here's what he's trying to say. You know, when it comes to ourselves, our issues, how big are they? They're pretty small, right? That's in our eyes, they're pretty small. But the truth of the matter is, our issues are enormous. They're really enormous. And so what we do is we tend to ignore our own big issues, and we see the small things that somebody else has got, and we make a big deal out of those things. So I love what these verses say. It says this, take the log out of your own eye. Take the log out of your own eye. So okay, now think about putting your eye on that log for a second. Okay, you with me? Put your log on that. Put your eye on that log. What do you see?
Zero.
Right? You and I have to. You know, this is why I love Jesus. He's trying to make us laugh. Like, do you see the humor in this whole thing? You are so stupid. He wouldn't use those words. You are so stupid. You're trying to help somebody else. You're so bothered by somebody else, and you can't even see properly. Okay, so take the log out of your own eye. So recognize that you have issues. And you know what this should do? This should humble us. This should help us to see ourselves as we really are. And this goes right along with it. Always assume that your vision is impaired. You should know this. I don't have all the facts. I want to read a story to you about a young Christian girl who went to Thailand. Her name is Shelby. She's corresponding with somebody here, and I'm just reading her correspondence. Shelby A talented young musician who attends my church went to Thailand to help organizations ministering to people trapped in rampant sex industry of that country. I emailed her afterward to catch up, and here is part of her reply. So she says, "You have to remember that my father was an LAPD sergeant. He worked all over LA and arrested prostitutes all the time. He would tell me how most of the women were drug addicts, and their prostitution was a way to fund their habit. I felt sorry for them, but I also felt that they had brought it on themselves. If they hadn't gotten addicted to drugs, then maybe they wouldn't have had this decision to start selling themselves." She says, "After going to Thailand, I saw a different side of prostitution. Every prostitute I talked to said their reason for doing this was to support their family." Their family. Many of the women had been married at one time, but their husbands had left them. Now these women were left to take care of their children. "We judge because we don't understand. I didn't understand, but now I'm starting to. It's hard to describe what's on my heart, but I guess I can just say that after living with these prostitutes, I no longer saw them as that. I saw them as mothers, as daughters, as wives, as friends, and most of all, as women who are loved by God. And God showed me that I am a work in progress." Amen?
Amen.
I am a work in progress. Some sin is more visible than others, but we all do it. I have no right to judge anyone because I am just like them. I need to keep an open mind and an open heart. Always assume your vision is impaired. Be a person who regularly confesses their sin to God. I believe that if your healthy daily habit is to confess your sin to God, you recognize who you are. But if you're not confessing your sin, you have a gross overestimation of who you are. But when you confess your sin, guaranteed, you are humbled, you're self-examined, and the way that you look at people, the way that you treat other people is very different. It's interesting in these verses, Autumn, if you could go back to them again, because I want to bring you to this other point. Because, you know, it does say that you need to remove the log that is in your eye, and that you have noticed that somebody among you has an issue. And this is really critical because Jesus is saying this, you know, you disciples, you are in a community together. And part of being a disciple is helping other disciples. We're not in this alone. We need one another. And so Jesus encourages us, first of all, take the log that is out of your own eye. But did you notice what he also says later on? First, take the log out of your own eye, verse 5, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. He's not just saying, take the log out of your own eye and ignore your brother. He's saying, when you have, in a healthy way, dealt with your own condition, when you're humbled and self-examined before God, then you are in the right state to go and help other people in your community who need the help. Is that good? That's what we are supposed to do. That's what he's telling us here. Because here's the bottom line. A lot of times Christians get themselves misaligned. And for those of us who recognize that someone is misaligned, let's spend that time before God. Let's confess our sins and then let's go to help. That is what we're called to do. And you know, here's the thing. When you have that kind of posture, when you have that kind of attitude, what will happen is that you will restore that person back to health. There's no condemning. It's just health and healing. That is what we are called to. I would add one other thing before we get to verse 6. Don't be so quick to criticize or condemn others. Don't be so quick. Sometimes we see something and we think something's going on, and then we find out later on, boy, I'm so glad I didn't open my mouth. Just let that, again, settle on your heart. Don't be so quick. Be in that posture of prayer and self-examination and humbling before God to make sure you're in the right condition, and then your vision, again, is going to be a whole lot clearer. Well, I want to end with the verse that is probably the most troubling verse in this, because verse 6 says, remember verse 1 says, don't judge. And we should be clear by now that that kind of judging is judging like God judges. And yet in verse 6, it says, don't give dogs what is holy. Isn't that a judgment? Ooh. So here's the word we're going to use. We're going to use the word discernment. I think healthy, growing Christians need healthy discernment about where people are at. So this verse says, do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Do you believe Jesus is precious? Is Jesus really precious to you? Is he holy to you? Is he like a pearl to you? Yeah. And how many of you really have in your heart that you want to tell other people about Jesus? Yeah, I believe so, right? That's the normal condition of, right, a disciple's heart. We want to tell other people about this person who is so precious to us. But how many of you found out that some people don't want to hear anything about it? Right, and you might also hear, you know, and if you mention the name Jesus, the first words out of their mouth might be, don't judge me. Because they know that, right? That's what they think is coming. You're going to just judge them. But you've got something so precious, and you just want to share what you have. But I think what Jesus is saying here, he says, you all need wisdom. You all need to be really wise about when and how and who to present this precious thing to. Because the timing may be really, really wrong. I'll give you an example. Many, many years ago, when I was apprenticing to be a chef, don't come to my house, expect good food, okay? From me. My wife's an amazing cook, but don't. Every time I mention chef, they're like, oh, I didn't know you were a chef. Well, so when I was in that environment many years ago, I was a brand new Christian, you know, within the first 2 years or so. Oh my goodness, I would tell everybody about Jesus. So we had this, we were all in the kitchen before we, you know, set up, before guests came into the restaurant. We would all be preparing and everything else. And there was like the head guy in the kitchen, and he loved Rod Stewart. And every single day, the music that we heard was Rod Stewart, Rod Stewart, Rod Stewart. And he didn't, you know, it wasn't just kind of, you know, Muzak kind of level music in the elevator. Like, it was blaring. So I was so in love with Jesus, and I thought, oh my goodness, I got to tell these people about him, that I started telling them, trying to get my voice above, right, the level of the singing. I'm going, do you know about Jesus? Okay, I'm glad you can have a good laugh at me, which is good. That's the reason I'm telling. But sometimes we're like this, aren't we? We're not wise. Is that really the place to be telling everybody about Jesus? Probably not wise on my part. And sure enough, guess what they did? Probably turn up louder, right? Turn up louder. And they laughed and they criticized and all those kinds of things. And you know, you can be like the martyr and you can say, oh, I'm just, you know, I'm getting persecuted for my faith. No, you're being pretty stupid. Like, don't do that. Like, get the lesson. Why would you, okay, maybe at this point, they're just not, that environment is just not good to receive the precious thing that you have. So don't roll it out. It's not a good time to start talking about you. Do your job. Put your head down. Get your job done. And what was interesting was in quiet times with people individually from that group, I invited them to different things, and two of them got saved. Learn to be wise with the precious things that you have. So you and I do need discerning. We need to discern when to speak, how to speak, what to speak, those kinds of things. We just need that. We're not judging. So here, a lot of times when you look at this and you say, oh, look, Jesus just called somebody a dog. Okay, so we're not to go out and say, okay, you're a dog, like Jesus would be able to recognize. Somebody may be, let's just go with the metaphor for a second. Somebody may be in the condition of a dog right now, but you have no idea where they're going to be 2 weeks from now. So I would ask you again, please have the posture of self-examination. Have the posture of humility and prayer and confession before God. And I believe you'll begin to ask God for opportunities to speak to your colleagues. And he will give them to you. It may not be in the ruckus, but he definitely will give you that kind of an opportunity. Amen? Amen. Well, I hope this has been helpful for you this morning. Anyway, God is good, isn't he? Like his word is just so, so good. Let me just pray for us and then Nate will come back up. Father, thank you so much for your clear word. We're blessed this morning to be under your speaking. God, it's the kind of speaking that just sets us free. And God, if there's been any landing of judgment, your word to us about our judging heart, God, we pray we wouldn't just walk away from here this morning. That we would even right now begin to ask you to help us to deal with our judging attitudes of other people. God, you are so good. You came to this earth as a man, and you said, I did not come to condemn.
Right.
You came to love and to cherish and to reach people. God, pray that we could have that kind of a heart as we go from here today. We ask all of this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Ian. I know I found it helpful. Judgment is always something that I've struggled with, and my experience has absolutely been that confession is what brings my heart to a state that is reflective of what God wants. I know we'll have some stuff to talk about at our community group this week. If you're interested in joining a community group or getting connected with our church at all, the perfect people to talk to are anybody wearing one of these orange Connect Team lanyards. So we'll have some at the Connect table just outside in the hallway. Thank you all for coming, and I look forward to seeing you all next week.